You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to another block rocking edition of the Toilet Hell Radio Show. I am Joe Thrash, and kill with me my number one golden boy, Jordan.
Hell yeah, it's finally sticking. Golden boy Jordan. Print up some stickers and patches.
You just gotta will it into the universe, you know, like that time I was eating T-bone steaks all the time so that people would call me T-bone.
It just reminds me back in college, I used to hang out at a coffee shop on campus, and there were, at one point, there were two people named Tim, like, working there, hanging out there, and one person was named Tim, and the other was Handsome Tim, and that was his name. And I feel so bad to this day for just Tim.
I was really good friends with another guy named Joe in college. We'd go everywhere together, so we would fight to introduce ourselves first so we could say, I'm Joe number one and this is Joe number two.
Joe Classic and New Joe.
Exactly, yeah.
Diet Shasta Orange Joe.
Oh, no, that's too mean. So, I figure that on this episode, we were talking about doing a couple of themed things, and then we also were going to do an interview, and then it just all kind of fell apart, and I figured it'd be more fun for us to do that thing that apparently people love us doing more than anything else, which is just dicking around for an hour.
I'm begging you people, what do you want from us? Just tell us, because we have no idea.
I legitimately don't understand what you guys like and what you guys dislike, because I get it in my head that you want a certain thing, and then I work real hard on it, and then nobody gives a fuck.
We get people for interviews, well-known national, international stars, 400 listens. We dick around and make up silly stories, 1,000 listens. So I don't know. No one knows. Please help us.
I think the important thing to do is just to continue doing whatever we feel like, because clearly it doesn't matter.
That's the American way.
Yeah, so congratulations, guys. Because you failed to give us a clear direction, we're going to continue shitposting audibly. Audibly.
One day we're just going to do our sports show and just say fuck it and watch as the count goes down of listens. But then we get like a chud contingent, so we'll see what happens.
Legitimately, I wanted to do basically a fake sports podcast episode for this one. And like, as I'm talking right now, I'm actually I'm laying down some shitty bets on football right now. So
who you got this week?
I just picked a two-game parlay. I picked the Cowboys over the Dolphins by 23 points.
Well, that's a safe bet.
And the Patriots over the Jets by 22 points. So overall, another a 55... 55-point differential. Normally, you wouldn't want to bet those, but because those teams are historically bad, Daddy's going to make some money.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, Super Bowl, do you bet on the coin flip or who's going to score first? Like, do you get that intense?
It depends on how much money I have in my account at the end of the season. This is the third week of the season. I'm up $150. So it looks like I can probably keep going for a while because I typically bet pretty small and bet games as parlays so that they have a bigger maximum payout. And also because I'm cheap and risk averse.
Do you end up screaming at the TV like, don't kick a field goal, go for the touchdown, you bastards?
Yeah. I apologize to anybody that's ever tried to watch football with me when I'm gambling on sports.
Healthy.
Yep. Anyway, but we're not doing sports. What we're going to do is we're going to record here, and then I'm going to leave, and then I'm going to go make sure that my points are covered.
You're going to get your buffalo chicken tendies, you're going to get your Lone Star beer, and you're going to park your ass on the couch for 6 hours.
You're not even wrong, dude. So get this. I figured out that Morningstar makes veggie buffalo nuggies, and
yep,
they're delicious, dude.
I love them.
So that's my afternoon, bros.
Not bad. There's worse ways to spend your day off.
Yeah. What are you up to?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to dread Monday morning and have to go back to work. and, you know, ruin the rest of my weekend by giving myself a migraine and worrying myself sick. So, you know, goals.
It's cool how we have a 2-day weekend, but it's really only about like a day because you spend an entire 24 hours just like in stomach churning dread of having to go back.
Yeah, it's like Sunday night blues, going back to school blues. It's just that overwhelming sense of here we go again and hoping that, well, this week's going to suck, but maybe next week. I think that's called adulthood.
Yeah. The great news is that you don't have to do it for that long, just until basically you have the resources to retire. So if you're
oh, you were serious.
So if you're anything like me, that date is going to be roughly the day after I die.
Yeah, retirement's not going to happen for our generation, but maybe the next one.
The next one's going to be lucky if they make it to adulthood.
They'll be fine.
Things are looking a little grim, but that's okay, because we've got the news of the week. Now, you pointed this thing out to me, and I got to say, it bothers me in more than a few ways. Number one, why did you share this with me? And number two, what is it exactly?
I shared it with you because you have a special bond with this person in the metal world, one Jeremy Spencer, formerly of Five Finger Death Punch, the author of a book that you reviewed on this very podcast.
Yes, that was I think that was a fan favorite episode, but we also had a number of people message me that were like, I couldn't get all the way through this one because the things that you were saying were so fucking graphic and horrific. Talking, of course, about Jeremy Spencer, former Five Finger Death Punch, drummer, current volunteer pig.
Reserve pig, not even a full-time pig.
A reserve pig, which means
the B-team of pigs.
It means that he holds back a little bit when he's beating up unarmed kids.
His gun is rubber that he points at kids.
What is the deal? What's the deal with Jeremy Spencer?
So as people who might have listened to our show, or who haven't, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Jeremy enjoys the sexual things in life. And drugs, but mostly banging as many ladies as possible in really gross ways as possible, as was his admission in his own book. Now he's combining his love of horror movies and the naked ladies with something called Lady Killer TV, which is a softcore / horror, I guess, internet series. I don't think this is going to be on TV, but who knows? Maybe Late Night Cinemax has got a gap in their schedule.
Well, you sent me the trailer, and I watched the trailer, and I got to say, I don't think this has a chance of making it on broadcast television.
In 2019, you never know. Maybe the Speed Channel at 1 in the morning, or I don't know, Access, or one of these channels that you never ever watch but just exists because they get advertising from like Jazzy's and those old people phones that you sometimes see advertised for in Jeopardy.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, like an entire industry of things, shows that only exist because products that exist to scam Medicaid can advertise on them.
Yeah, thanks, old people. In this description of Lady Killer TV, there is Tori Black tackles a head-spinning role in The Sexorcist, then tackles Tommy Pistol in The O-Ring.
We briefly brought this up on our bonus episode, but it's worth repeating that The Sexorcist, not exactly an original name. Necro put out the grossest album of horrorcore, I think, around with that. Go back and listen to it. It's fucking grimy. It's gross. Also, who is this for? Who are these like slasher pornos for?
I assume weird teenage boys.
Because I watched this trailer and I saw like these actresses like showing their boobs and like being seductive towards some other actor, and then out of nowhere just gruesomely stabbing someone to death. Seemed to go, that was the case throughout this trailer. You saw repeatedly someone initiating sex and then murdering their partner.
So it's like a 4chan, 8chan board sort of thing?
Yeah, but I feel like those guys are so far gone with how they conflate sex and violence and misogyny that, like, this isn't going to do it for them either.
I don't know. Like I'm saying, I really think it's just teenage boys. That'd be my only guess. That's it.
The only other
can't
person
think of anything else.
I mean, the only other person I can think of is like a 60-year-old man that spent like his entire life doing this exact same shit, only with like 9,000% more racism. Beelzebub.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Still putting out stuff and still actually working with well-known people.
I don't understand at all. Like, I don't respect anybody that would work with this guy. He's the least talented person in both metal and film. It's incredible how he can do both.
Like Lloyd Kaufman without the charm or success.
Lloyd Kaufman is a total scumbag, but I mean, you can't deny some of his results. With the thing with like Beelzebub, like like watching Nazi shark whore hunter 7, it's not in any way charming like The Toxic Avenger, Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD.
Yeah, at least Troma had those. Beelzebub has nothing.
Yeah, so it's probably the, I don't know. I feel like he works with a lot of adult actresses as well, but it seems like they might be kind of washed out of the career at this point. I think these people are kind of in the prime of it.
Yeah, there's some names that people will recognize. Adriana Chechik relives a nightmare on her street in 1-2, Eddie's Coming in You. That's, Nikki Benz and Raya Sunshine find themselves alone in the woods on the 13th of Friday in Camp Blood Sex, which isn't
okay.
Even creative.
Camp Blood Sex?
Yes.
Like, was there a... Is that a reference to anything, or is that just three words that are like, yeah, we'll just fucking throw it together. We got to get this out in the can.
I mean, you couldn't come up something for Crystal Lake? Something? I don't know. Squirt Lake? Something?
Gross.
Crystal Squirt? I don't know.
But yeah, probably a better title. I don't know. Camp... City Stab.
Blood Sacks. Nicole Aniston stops in for the night at a familiar hotel, but finds the proprietor troubling in Psych-Ho.
I like that one. That's a good one.
That's actually clever-ish in comparison to the other ones.
Yeah, that's
Bella
good.
Danger and Jinx Mage play spooky twins who invite fans to come and play with them in The Whining.
And that one doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I think it's supposed to be like The Shining.
Yeah, but like it doesn't work. Like your pun doesn't work. You could have called it
terrible.
You could have easily called it the Overlook Hotel.
But you already used ho. You can't double up on it. People won't respect you as an artiste if you go back to the well more than once.
This is tough. I assume that this was like some lowest common denominator shit, but here we are trying to work within the details, and it's tougher than I thought.
So Jeremy did an interview kind of explaining his thought process, and I use that word lightly, for Lady Killer TV. If you wouldn't mind me doing a little read-along?
Please. I would love to hear thoughts from a man that has such heavy criticisms of Ersatz art himself.
Speaking about how he came up with the idea for this series, Spencer said, "I was on tour with my former band in Europe, and I was eating breakfast with a friend who is now my business partner. I told him I wanted to do a horror movie with porn stars. We started talking about it more. He suggested that I maybe do recreations of classic scenes as an introductory get your foot in the door type of thing. So then my mind was off to the races. I started developing a whole season immediately. Whatever warp stuff I could think of, I put on paper. My business partner had worked in the porn industry for a decade and knew everyone. Everyone loves him. So I'd say, who do you think we can get? He named a few, and then I started actually researching the actresses more on the business side, along with watching their work, of course. So I would just keep throwing out names, and we kept getting the girls to sign up. Pretty soon, we had an all-star cast of some of the industry's top performers. I grew up watching all the 80s campy horror stuff, along with serious classics, so I loved it all. There are so many franchises to pull from that it was easy to get started. I just kind of used things that had girls in them, like The Exorcist, Psycho, Halloween. I would take some of the classic scenes and parody them, but mostly I just made up everything in my tortured mind.
Oh, so
it's
Jesus
pretty much
Christ.
New movies for those franchises, and done with hot and steamy simulated sex scenes and lots of gore. How horror really always has been. It's just that the sex scenes are a bit longer than in the originals, the way most horror fans probably would have wanted in the mainstream original movies back in the day.
His tortured mind, God. I think that number. I think Jeremy is probably one of the dumbest people we've ever talked about on this show. Just his brain is goo. It's bad. It could be related to all the gasoline he huffed when his brain was developing, or it could just be like, you know, a lifetime result of literally no one ever telling him no. But he's stupid, and his thoughts are bad.
And now he has a bad TV show.
Yeah, so, again, this is a creation that he's put together that I think somehow is able to miss the mark on every possible placement, because he mentioned himself that he hired adult actresses to do simulated sex scenes. So if somebody is going and looking for porno, they're probably not interested in that. And if somebody wants to see a horror movie, I don't think that they would rather watch a campy softcore porno rather than an actual horror movie. So it's like, again, I don't think this is for anyone. I think this is just make work program for former Five Finger Death Punch drummers.
Yeah, it's not scary. It's not sexy. It's not original.
No. It is incredibly stupid. Looking at some of the very cheap gore effects that I saw in the trailer, it's both manages to be ugly and misogynistic at the same time, which is pretty impressive, I would say.
It's very on brand for him.
Definitely. So if we're talking about the project in terms of in those terms, it is incredibly successful. In every other way, no, this is bad and stupid and very fitting.
The special effects are very much in the same vein as Slayer's new movie that's supposed to be coming out. I remember watching the trailer for that, and I think someone gets stabbed in the mouth. And if you're watching it, blood actually starts coming out before the knife is actually in the person's mouth. So it's, you know what you're getting when you're watching this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was looking at this trailer, and it's very patchy, and it looks like a lot of After Effects blood splatters instead of using squibs, which you should always use the squib if you've got the ability. It's stupid, bad, ugly. Also, like we brought it up earlier, Trauma was so good at making intentionally campy and silly death effects, and there's none of that charm here either.
I hope this is the last of any project we ever hear from him, because obviously whatever he does is not going to be good.
No. But I am curious to see if this is successful, if somehow maybe I have missed the mark and there's a whole bunch of people out there that are really interested in this particular kind of thing. I don't think that's the case, but I'd be interested to see that I'm proven wrong.
I don't think you will be. If this was like 1998, I could totally see this working.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I guess both horror and pornography have advanced a little bit in the last two decades.
And both are widely free or easily payable for.
That's true. Yeah, you don't have to like trade tapes for like the Faces of Death movies or anything like that. You can just use your Shudder login and see that, and God knows how many other disgusting things out there. And then there's like, you know, live leak.
Yeah, but even beyond that, there's hundreds of 70s, 80s, and 90s horror movies just on YouTube, just uploaded, because no one's going to pay for whatever cheapo slasher or bad monster movies on.
Yeah, that's true. And then there's porno, which I hear is like a thing on the internet.
It is a thing. So I've heard. As discussed on the playground.
So yeah, just, you know, I don't think you need to necessarily combine your two interests. You could probably keep them separate and it'll be fine.
At least he didn't somehow try to fit drumming in. Like, he's not just in the background playing his drums while all these things are happening.
No, that would be interesting. Kind of like a really ham-fisted version of the Cremaster cycle with Dave Lombardo. Yeah, we'll talk about modern art on another episode. We should probably move on with something else here.
I was just thinking more like late night talk show, how the host always has a band leader that he bounces jokes off of. Maybe you could have that with Jeremy Spencer, but instead of playing a full song, he just goes ba-dumps during some of the murders.
That'd be interesting. The Kevin Eubanks of slasher pornos.
Just sticking his head in, making a little crack, and then sticking it out again.
what else have you seen going on in this world of online metal?
Azalea Dying has a new album out.
Improbably so. You know,
on a major label.
Talk about really overcoming the odds. You know,
a band that was dead and gone has managed to resurrect itself in one of the biggest ways possible.
This is a real redemption story. You take a guy that had his life taken from him, you know, by some evil broad. I can't continue with this. This is improbable that the guy could get convicted of attempting to hire a hitman to murder his wife. Go away to jail, get a fat, juicy set of tits, and then come back, be welcomed with open arms by his band that failed to make it as Woven War, have a successful run of tours across the nation, get signed to a major label, and release that album to pretty much unanimous excitement to Chuds. It's a really come from behind victory, I would say.
He did it. If you put your mind to anything, you can achieve something. And that's what was done, and we're all the worse for it.
It really does feel bizarre to just realize, oh yeah, we're all going to go along with this. There's we could reckon with it, but we're just going to go ahead and do it. Like, I feel like even the NFL has a modicum of like shame about this kind of shit.
Sort of. I mean, you could look at the Antonio Brown situation we're currently in the middle of right now, and how the Patriots just had to sign him, knowing all these accusations against him, just had to have him play against the Dolphins, one of the historically worst teams in modern football history, and then cut him.
I'm glad that they were there to to pad the score, because I bet on that game as well. It paid off. Yeah, what was the point of all this? I am positive that they were aware of everything going on because, you know, like billion-dollar league, they know everything. They know everything about you and me.
I guess they thought they can get away with it, or that like the storm would pass, as it has with other athletes who have done and said horrible things. It, for the most part, people are pretty forgiving, especially in sports. If you, as long as you keep winning, as long as you keep getting touchdowns, and that's kind of the same situation with this. As long as they keep coming with the riffs, and as long as they keep coming with the yelly yelly screamy screamy, then people will forgive them, and they're taken back to when they liked metalcore in their teen years, and that's all they want to think about, and not that this guy tried to have his wife murdered because he was angry at her.
Yeah, you and I talked about maybe doing another episode similar to our Fear Inoculum one, where we played the whole album, but instead just played stats about domestic violence, and then we decided that probably wouldn't be very funny. It would probably just be a really tough listen for everybody.
And the people listening to this most likely already feel the same way, whereas the people that are excited about this album are the ones who probably should listen to something like that.
Exactly. You guys listening, you're the real champs, the real MVPs. I don't know, man. I want so badly to interview the band now, just to basically put them in the jackpot where I can really pose some difficult questions.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the rest of the band. Not that I was ever a fan, but like, how can you create a new band, go on tour, record all that, and then see this as an opportunity? Like, is money that important? It must be.
I got a lot of beef with Nuclear Blast right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is, this is probably one of the more shameful things I've seen them ever do. Not going to forget that.
And this situation isn't like there's some vagaries about it or there's hearsay. There was actually an arrest, a trial. He went to prison. He was convicted. All of this. It is proof. It is in the public knowledge. You can go onto YouTube and see clips of him in court and all of this. So it's not like there's any excuse for fans. It's just acceptance at this point.
And what's the most galling about this, and we talked about this on the bonus episode in terms of like modern American Christianity and evangelicalism, that this entire record is like, it poses itself as like a redemption story, you know, shaped by fire. Like, I went down to the depths, but here I am. Like, you know, I'm a better man now, and all this bullshit. It's like the view from evangelicalism is that we are all sinners, but because you let Jesus in your life, you are forgiven, so you don't have to do better. You're always okay.
He's the real victim here, is what he's saying.
It's worth noting, because we Limbesis has earned a reputation, I would say very unfairly, of being a more intelligent person in the metalcore scene. But what he decided to do was ask his trainer at the gym if he knew where he could find a hitman.
It's only slightly above Googling it or looking in Yellow Pages.
Exactly. And then, of course, his trainer, being not a dummy, is like, I probably better talk to the police about this. And the FBI is setting him up with a hitman who called himself Red, which is, I guess, a step above calling himself like Texas Red or something like that, or Mississippi Red.
Chucky Stab.
So they negotiated a deal for $1,000.
Shouldn't that have been a red flag? Like, that's
one,
it?
One whole rack. For $1,000, I will murder the wife of your children. And he's like,
that's
yeah,
at least
good.
Like, it's like three trips to the ATM for that.
Yeah, you got to go into the lobby for that. You're putting a memo on the checking account for the deposit for murdering wife.
Murder is starting to be written, but it's crossed out and like happy birthday is written in instead.
So yeah, well, congrats, Tim Lambesi, you did it.
So he sucks, the band sucks, Nuclear Blast sucks, the bands that tour with them suck, the venues that book shows and promote them suck, fans that are like, oh, he did his time, it's okay now, they suck. Who else sucks? Who am I missing? Studios that record them.
Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. Ted Jensen, who did the mastering on this new record, he sucks. Adam Nolly Getgood, who did the mixing on track 8. That's the fucker from Periphery, right?
Sure.
I think so. I think so. You fucking suck. Corey Myers, who did the artwork. Hey, bud, guess what? You suck. Oh, and on the track Redefined, features Jake Lehrers of August Burns Red. August Burns Red, guess what? You suck. How do you like that?
They're another one of those Christian metalcore bands. So it's all about forgiveness and love.
Yep. Not taking it. Strike number one was making metalcore. Strike number two is trying to make metalcore acceptable to Jesus. All of it's bad.
We all know Jesus likes grindcore anyway.
I always imagine him more of as like a contemporary pop type fan, but now that I think about it, that is the lamest music on earth, and Jesus didn't seem like he was that bad.
And lo, he did put on the Insect Warfare 7-inch.
He was. It's in Ecclesiastes 8:13 that Gulf Coast grindcore is what the promise listened to.
And ye shall see upon his legs patchwork crusty jeans, and it was good. And a back patch upon him saying drop dead and press.
Trying to imagine Jesus is like a traveling kid, it kind of makes a lot of sense.
A crust punk Jesus is such a good idea. Like, that's internet famous right there if someone wants to do that.
Huh.
I just go to basement shows in your vestments and spreading the word of DIY.
And lo, he turned water into MB 2020.
He said to the hungry, thereupon upstairs is a sleeve of Oreos. Dine and sup with me.
God bless you, Crosspunk Jesus. Hey, so there was like a lot of hubbub. You guys talked about it on the episode that I wasn't here for, about the Billboard charts.
Yeah, Tool was on the Billboard charts, and all of these generic, bland, rock, metal light websites that we always make fun of were just going nuts over it. Just like, oh my god, rock and roll is back. Tool is number one. It knocked off Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift fans are mad. Every song on the album's on the top 25 songs of the week. Oh my god, blah blah blah. Well, a week has passed.
Yeah, What happened in that week? Because I'm taking a look at these charts right now, and looking at the top 100 or the Hot 100 rather of top songs of the week, I don't see any Tool around here. What happened with that?
Gasp! Amazingly, it's like people that were into Tool are a very small section and don't necessarily move the Billboard charts beyond the week that it all came out.
It's pretty wild. especially because I'm looking right now at number 11 on the Hot 100 is Old Town Road, which has been on the charts for 28 weeks. So, God, I think that Lil Nas X might flex some nuts on Tool there.
I think he should. And, you know, let people know that rock is in fact dead. Because there's no rock on this.
Yeah. And I think more importantly, you gotta ask, like, why the fuck do you care if rock is dead or not? I mean, you intentionally listen to bands that are incredibly obscure. You go to shows with 20 other people. Like, is that shocking to you that, like, there aren't millions of people buying these records? Get the fuck over yourself.
I think it is.
I can't
like,
believe...
Like, to them, it's... Go ahead.
I can't believe that this... that I've entered this subculture willingly decades ago with the intention of being an outsider for the people around me is not more popular.
Yeah, I don't know. I just specifically remember an article from Kerrang that got up to me saying about how it's important that Tool is on the Billboard charts.
I believe that it was written by the guy that used to be Emperor Rhombus on Metal Sucks.
Well then.
That makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it?
It does. And the thing is, like, of course it...
Sorry, right. I'm sick.
I'm sick of all this Billboard talk. So they're at 167 now on the Billboard charts. I just found them scrolling through. And, like... Obviously, a band that has been around for 30 years, that has been well known, showing up for 1 week on a chart that mostly caters now towards pop and hip hop and actual popular things that way more people like, that it doesn't matter. It would matter more if it was a new band. Like, we give tons of shit to Bad Wolves, but if they were number one all of a sudden, like, that would be a better indication than a band that has been around this long and probably won't make a lot more sales beyond the initial couple of weeks.
Yeah. I saw that there was some chatter that one of the Tool people had said that they had recorded enough material over this last session where they could probably squeeze another record out of it. So we might be able to have this same stupid conversation again in a year or two, but I don't know. It seems unlikely. I feel like there's not going to be a whole lot after this.
Yeah. If they were smart, they'd wait to put it out. Unless it's just like, we have nothing else. We can't do this ever again. And then they put it out and just like, yeah, here it is. This is all we got. Give us money while you still have it. But the way people have reacted to the album, at least critically, if they recorded more stuff, I can't imagine it being much better than what they actually put out.
Yeah. I still haven't listened to it because, you know, I don't care. I'm having a good time here looking at the Billboard 200. For example, above Enema, whatever. I'm taking a look here at the Eagles, their greatest hits, 1971 through 1975, is at number 128 on the charts. Where it has been on the charts for 291 weeks.
Who is buying that album?
Do you, like, have you not already heard, like, I'm Already Gone or something? Why do you need to buy this record?
And, like, Abbey Road is on there, too.
Yeah, there's several Michael Jackson CDs on here. I don't know, man. Like, it feels like this is like buying beige paint because it's everywhere around you. Why do you need to get more of it? Back in Black.
AC/DC's Back in Black.
300,
just got to it.
376 weeks on the chart.
How is that possible?
You know, here I thought rock and roll was dead until I saw that AC/DC was on the charts for 376 weeks in a row.
People just buying the same album? Are they giving it as gifts? Are, like, CEOs buying them in bulk and giving them to their workers in lieu of bonuses? Like, that's how I know it works with conservative books and how they end up on, like, the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, yeah. Because they've got their own, like, they basically have their own printing houses, and then they're just sent out to every, like, fail son that has a shitty, like, mailing list for right-wingers.
Right. They buy up their own books and then hand them out, or they have DC think tanks and Heritage Foundation, all these other creepy, shadowy groups. They just buy up 300,000 of whoever, Michelle Malkin's latest book. And there you go. They're on the list. And then they can claim we were on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah. Michelle Malkin's latest book would be probably about how she thinks the rapist cop is innocent. that's an interesting lady, but perhaps a topic for another show.
They're all monsters.
They're all the worst fucking people. I don't get it, man. Like, I have no idea who is buying the Beatles' number one greatest hits. Who's buying Queen's greatest hits? I don't know, but lots of people are, and they have been forever. Like, Rumours is on here. Rumours has been on these charts since 1976. It's never coming off. Like, the world is going to be collapsing, and Rumours will still sell because teenagers like to wear big floppy hats and listen to Dreams.
I don't know if it's people replacing old albums or like giving gifts to their kids that are like just getting into music. Very strange.
If you are listening to this show and you've bought one of these records that is, you know, Triple Diamond or whatever, like Back in Black or Rumours, new on a CD format recently, get in touch with us and tell us what's the deal. What's going on with this?
Remastered versions, versions with like outtakes, with live stuff. I don't know.
I don't get it, bro. Don't get it at all.
Well, at least As I Lay Dying isn't on the chart.
That's
yeah.
Will we know until next week?
I guess by next week. Let's see. This looks, yeah, we'll probably have to come back in a week and look and be disappointed.
Tank Crimes, that badass punk label. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, they've done stuff with Municipal Waste and Toxic Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guy also runs a record store, and he's been tweeting out regularly, like, do you know how many albums you would have to sell to get on the Billboard Top 200? And it is, the barrier to entry is pretty low. I think he said last week you would have to sell something like 350 to hit number 200 on the Billboard Top 200.
Not a lot.
No. It makes me think, like, if we really put our minds to it, we could get Crotch Monster on the Billboard Top 200.
I believe in us. I think we have enough listeners per episode where if everyone just bought an album, we could do it.
Yeah, does it count, like, if we price the album at, like, a dollar?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because I feel like we might be able to scam our way on here, and then just out of the curiosity of people seeing it, maybe we can get a little bit higher.
And then we could sell tickets to our local shows where we open up for Unearth, and then we'll be huge.
I think we've got a plan here. I think we can really make this move. We don't have much of an audience whatsoever, but if we can like flex on it a little bit just to get ourselves going on the Billboard charts, and then maybe use that to sell ourselves to some coked up executives, we could be the next big thing, baby.
We get on the charts, and then we buy some khakis, and then we get the girls.
I think that makes total sense. I think we ought to do it.
And first you get the sugar, then you get the power, and then you get the women.
Mm-hmm. That is the way this goes. It looks like number one on the charts this week is Post Malone. That guy's friends with various metal and hardcore dudes. Seems like
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, he's been photographed at like Gate Creeper and Power Trip shows quite a bit. I think he had like a basically a bedroom emo band before he started doing this minstrel show that he's doing.
Before he got mad ugly.
This guy is from like a very wealthy suburb near Dallas. I don't much care for his music or what he does, but it is interesting that he somehow has the attention of dudes within the metal scene. Have you ever heard his music?
If I have, I haven't like known it's him. It's like one of those like on in the background while walking in the mall type situations.
Yeah.
But I've never gone out and sought out his music.
Yeah, it plays at the gym quite a bit, and it's like there's nothing to this. But I don't know. I was talking with some coworkers, people that are older than I am, and they were like, "Yeah, man, like that shit is just really catchy." And I'm just, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Have you heard his collaboration with Ozzy Osbourne though?
No, I avoid all of pop and hip hop as much as possible.
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet, just because I want to. I'd like to have a few positive memories of Ozzy remaining before he dies in the next like 3 weeks. He's just like, I don't know, picked up on a scooter and put in the corner of a studio and kind of whining into a studio mic and then forcefully edited.
I think he even said that he had no idea who Post Malone was when he recorded it. So it's one of those, like, Sharon just whatever put together the deal, got him on his little scooter, and wheeled him in. He's yarled and then wheeled him out again, like I said. And there you go. And now a whole new generation of kids are going, "Who's Ozzy Osbourne?"
To be fair, I think those were mostly kids joking. I think I saw that that tweet going around, like, of who the fuck is this Ozzy Osbourne fella?
Mm-hmm.
I think there were
I'm sure there's some that know, and I'm sure there's some that don't.
That's fair.
Ones that just don't listen to rock or metal. You know, you're not going to really know who he is, other than maybe the old guy from TV from a long time ago.
Yeah. I remember, like, some kids saying, like, "I remember my dad watching this on MTV." It's going to make everyone feel old. What is the shit that you posted to Facebook, dude?
You're going to have to be way more specific than that.
I'm seeing a photo of some kind of green monster.
Again, more specific than that.
You posted, you put the Blood Incantation logo on it.
Oh. So what that is in, I believe, mid-1990s, maybe 1996, in Germany, there was an E.T. porn, and that's God. What that picture is from.
So you've seen it?
I'm aware of it. I think a lot of people are.
Is it more or less appealing than what Five Finger Death Jeremy did?
I would watch Five Finger Death Jeremy for the rest of my life over what this is. Because you can see from the picture that it is a creepy knockoff 1980s E.T. costume.
It looks like a Teddy Ruxpin covered in slime.
I think it's a good way to describe it. But yes, because everyone was going nuts over Blood Incantation this week, I decided to meme it up in a delightful way for people who are in the know.
So yeah, Blood Incantation, one of the things that I get most excited about in terms of new music nowadays. They put out their artwork for the next record, and it is it's great. I love it. It's not an original design. It was previously used for I think it was a sci-fi book, right?
Yeah.
And it's great.
At least that's what it's most famous for.
It's, you got a little ancient alien, man, like looking off into the cosmos and stuff. It's very, striking in that it doesn't look like, a lot of, death metal records coming out nowadays, you know?
Or even their own, their album artwork with Saturn with the skulls instead of rings.
That was actually by the same
pretty great artwork.
That was by the same artist of this Ancient Alien one.
Interesting. It looks completely different.
It does. I love that that artwork, though, with the skulls around Saturn. That's fucking sick, dog.
Yeah. I mean, that conveys death metal, and yes, this doesn't. And I think that kind of got some people riled up.
Perhaps. These guys are, if you've ever seen them live, what little stage banter you get is entirely about... it's about ancient aliens and shit like that. And I don't think that these guys are totally sincere about any of this. I think that they're incredibly interested in this, but I also think they have a wicked sense of humor about all of it. I mean, how could you not put a big pointy-eared alien on your record and not have a sense of humor about it?
Well, you could be Tom DeLonge from Blink-182.
Christ. I don't think that guy's well, man.
Who apparently released, like, actual government UFO-related videos to the internet, and they had to say, like, yeah, these are actually real.
I haven't watched it, have you?
No.
Yeah, I just... Because it's not going to be, like, flying saucers and stuff. It's just going to be, like, I don't know.
It's lights boring, in the sky.
Yeah, some boring space shit. Nothing is, you know... Nothing that happens out there is as interesting as I want it to be. Like, Star Trek made me think it would be, you know?
And in all honesty, if there was some sort of actual alien-related facts or knowledge, don't you think our idiot president would have said something by now?
I assumed he was going to leak it out, like, immediately.
They might not have told him. Like, that's my only... caveat to it just not being true is that they just have not told him because they were afraid he's going to say something.
Given all of the myriad existential threats that, like, the entire world population faces at the moment, just give us the fucking truth about aliens. Just let us know. There are so many things that are, like, immediately going to kill so many people. Just let us know about the aliens. Give me the aliens, dog. I want to see the alien.
I think you just have to listen to Bloody Incantation's new album for the truth.
I think so. When I was a kid, I would regularly make this drive with my dad to basically across Roswell, New Mexico. And I would always want to stop and take a look at the UFO museum in Roswell where that supposed crash landing happened in the 50s. And it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of fake science around it. I also learned that that was where the name Foo Fighters originated, was this yep. program in Roswell. And until I was 32 years old when I discovered that... The UFO museum was basically a paid, like, CIA psyop.
So, did you Naruto run this past weekend and crash Area 51?
I saw those weird fucking children on TV doing that. No, it's worth noting that there was a climate strike all across the globe with millions of people, like, coming out and showing that they don't want the status quo anymore. And then you had a half dozen jack-offs, like, anime running across the screen in Nevada.
And the world was changed that day in more ways than one. I did like Breno had a tweet about being stuck in traffic for an hour in his car while there was the climate change going on. Yeah, protests going on. She's like, yeah, oops.
Well, I mean, we're pretty late in the episode to give my thoughts on the things necessary to stop runaway climate change, so maybe we should just go ahead and call it here.
Is the answer voting?
You will be shocked to learn... That's not my answer for anything.
Is it seize the means of production?
You know, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Mm. I get a tingly feeling in my nether regions when I think about nationalizing all of our energy production.
Are you sharpening your guillotine?
Nah, that's a little French, and you know how I feel about those guys.
It's not Italian, so I think you'll be okay.
let's go ahead and we'll... Okay, so do we need to recap anything on this episode, or do we get everything out of the way?
Okay, let's see. Jeremy Spencer, bad. As yes. I Lay Dying, bad.
Correct.
Tool, bad.
Correct.
Billboard charts, bad.
Yes.
People buying established albums that have been out for 40 years, still in present day, bad.
Correct.
Blood Incantation, good.
There we go. That's the show for this week. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.